A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It is Gallant and George. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes sitting in the Joe George chair. Joe's going to be back on Monday. We're having some Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Fun on a Friday with no Astros game to react to. And honestly, I don't think anyone really wants to talk about the Astros. Ocho texts in that I drive like Meadow Soprano parallel parking in the finale of The Sopranos. Yeah, not good. You don't ever want to be compared to, no offense to all the ladies out there, a woman parallel parking. I will say this, Sean.
Yes.
In Florida, to get your driver's license, you do not need to parallel park.
Okay.
Number two, you do need, and that's where I got my driver's license. For those who don't know, I went to high school in Florida. Number two, there was a point on the test where they said make a K turn, and I had no idea what they were talking about, so I tried to make a K. Apparently, they were saying make a three-point turn.
Yeah, okay.
Three.
I can see how that gets lost. I would have tried a my first thought was, because I've also never heard of a K-turn, I was like, that must be a three-point turn. But I can see how 15, 16 years old, you don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, 18 years old. Not great.
Oh.
Waited a while.
Okay.
We waited a while. We had friends who were very generous with the cars.
This is getting worse and worse for you.
Getting worse and worse. Oh, my God. It gets even worse. And this might be confirmation that I'm a bad driver, because I did not really have much driving experience before I went to go take the test. I just took it. I was a good test taker. What could I say?
Good enough, I guess.
Well, Sean, I did the math after looking at my scorecard, and I am 100% sure that they added up the score wrong and that they gave me my license because they added up the score wrong. The state of Florida, everybody, which also gave me a boating license for passing that test.
God. Florida, come on.
Florida.
Come on. What are you doing? Help yourself out a little bit on the we're a lawless swampland allegations. I will say, though, you starting the list with the fact that the parallel park is not necessary, wasn't necessary for you to get your license. I'll just say, what's an excuse? Or no.
Yes. Is there a reason? Stuff with a lie.
There you go. Skin of a reason, stuff with a lie.
It's so bad. Again, I'm a bad driver. I'll admit it. I'll finally admit it. I'm a bad driver.
Hand up. You got him.
Hand up.
June 7th, 2024.
I mean, I get reminded of it every single month with my insurance rates, and that's largely due to the uninsured motorists who have hit and run me, but I see that every single month when I'm paying $200 plus on my car insurance, I'm like, damn, I'm not a good driver.
Hey. The first step is acknowledging it.
On an Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Friday, Ron asks on the Twitch,
okay,
does Paul really like women? I mean, this is one of the stories that's been keeping the show running. Do you think I should answer this truthfully, Sean?
In honor of Pride Month, yes, I think you should.
Would it be stolen Pride Valor if I don't come clean here?
Yes, I think.
But we want ratings during Pride Month.
Then maybe you don't. Maybe.
Has ESPN 97.5 tweeted out a rainbow yet? We should get on that.
I don't believe we should have. No.
No.
Us and the Texas Rangers haven't.
Listen, you know, some people have told me I should click my heels 3 times and go back to Montrose. And I like Montrose. What can I say?
It's a nice area.
Listen, I'm not going to answer that question, but I will say I like Montrose. Because I like keeping the mystery going. I mean, I feel like if you've listened to the show long enough, you can read between the lines.
Yes.
But I really enjoy the fact that a lot of people seem to think this about
me. Some people aren't regularly in their car. You know, it's a Friday. Maybe they got out work early. They're like, you know, I've always wondered about Paul. Maybe I'll actually get the answer this time.
All right. So Keith Law of The Athletic was on with Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, the Killer Bees yesterday. And, I mean, he came in blazing. Says he didn't care that Astros fans hate him. He also said that, baseball-wide, there is a perception that Dana Brown, Joe Espada, they're just puppets for owner Jim Crane. He also said something that, honestly, I think should make a lot of Astros fans like him. Here is what he would do with perhaps the biggest albatross on the team, Jose Abreu?
Well, he's a release. He should be released. I mean, there's no purpose to keeping him on the roster at this point. You gave him the first year. Okay, maybe it's a down year. I didn't think so. I thought we had plenty of reason to think it was real. But I also understand them saying 3-year contract, at least get into the second year, see if an off-season of work changes anything. It hasn't. At this point, you have to add, the money's gone, right? He's paid no matter what. The guaranteed contract, the money is not a factor in the decision. You have to answer two questions. Is this team better off with Jose Abreu playing, like, as an everyday player? No, they are clearly not. And the second question is this team better off with Jose Abreu on the roster? I think that's a little more subjective, but the answer is probably no. At this point, they are simply better off if he's not there.
I agree. I mean, it allows Joey Loperfido to come back, and it also prevents the possibility of the Astros potentially moving Joey Loperfido at the trade deadline, which I do not want to happen, having seen him in the majors.
Yeah, Loperfido is at the very least a better bat than Abreu is.
Better fielder, clearly.
Yeah.
But another defensive highlight.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, we don't know about the consistency of it, but I'll put it this way, he makes plays that Jose Abreu cannot make at first base. So, yeah, it's tough. I don't know if there is a Jose Abreu defender out there, but it's tough to be a Jose Abreu defender because I cannot imagine what. I mean, Keith Law brings it up. It's like he can't start, and then coming off the bench, like what do you think he does there? He's not positionally versatile in any way. He can only play one position poorly.
No.
it's so hard. And Keith didn't mention this, but the fact that they have Singleton and Abreu, and Singleton's just a better version,
slightly
better version of Abreu, but. Better, like clearly better, and it's two first base only guys that you're carrying on your roster. Like you're playing with one hand tied behind your back, and this is a team that doesn't have that margin of error.
If either were capable of playing another position, you could maybe justify it, but that's the problem. Uh-huh. And you need to keep playing Jose Abreu to make him better, but it also seems like the more Singleton plays, the better he is, and they are literally cannibalizing each other.
Not literally.
No, they're literally doing it.
Really?
Yeah, I saw Jose Abreu just take a big old chomp out of. Remember why there was a big pause in the dugout? We didn't get a straight answer on what happened during that Astros game earlier in the week.
Why didn't we get a straight?
What could have happened? For my sources, which are dumbasses on the internet, I heard that they were eating each other.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
It was pretty graphic. No, not like that. But
okay.
Like that.
One was eating the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking of, on an Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Friday, drums or flats for wings? Now, I had to ask Sean what that meant because I guess I'm not really with the wing culture, if you will.
To be fair, the question only said drums or flats.
I was wondering if that was some type of shoe or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking that maybe you thought it was instrument related.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on here? The drums are the easiest. The flats are a little bit annoying because you gotta pull the bones apart.
Two-step verification there.
Exactly, yeah. And I'll admit, like, I'm a little bit of a prissy man, you know? I don't like my hands getting dirty. I don't like it. And generally, whenever I go to get wings, I go to this place up in the Heights, Port Swing Pub. I go there on Mondays because I have 50-cent wing nights. And when I go there, there's actually a picture of me and my friends on the wall there. I'm not kidding. It's the boys.
Local celebrity?
You can find it. I'm just
shaking hands with the owner.
No. I wish. That would be sick. But I always get the spicy garlic, and it's really good, but it's so damn messy.
Yeah.
So the pull-apart ones, I hate them.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. I like the flats a little bit better, just as far as like the quality, and it feels like you can really like
probably a little fattier.
You really feel like you're cleaning them off too when you have a flat because it's easier, but it is harder to do that. So I understand the convenience of it, but I'll go flats. I like both, honestly. I like a little variety with it.
I not gonna lie, like just thinking about those spicy garlic wings is making me hungry right now. Anyway, Gallant and George, Sean Mapeson for Joe George, I'm Paul Gallant. Keith Law was with the Killer Bees yesterday. The full interview is up on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. And again, Keith was on fire. I thought it was fantastic.
And he was adding credibility, being a national voice with everything that we've said, but he was doing it in the form of a victory lap.
Yeah.
As far as I was right about the Houston Astros.
That part kind of sucked.
That's the only part that sucks.
Yeah.
That's the only part that sucks is the fact that he gets to be smug about this, but on the merit, you can't really fight him.
The interesting thing is, it seems like Keith Law is in lockstep with, ironically, Dana Brown, who has been promising a lot of things that I'm not sure he can deliver on, because I don't know what they have to spend with. But Keith Law said that the Astros should go all in at the deadline.
They should be in, right? This club was built to contend. They are close enough to contention. And I think they can look at players like Bregman and say, we will get more production from Bregman the remainder of the season than we have from him so far. I think they should also look realistically. You know, they've taken some real hits to the pitching staff. That's going to be tough to replace. I do think they're in the situation where they should say the farm system is not in great shape, but they have some players who would have some value in trade, and they've been willing to take on some money in the past. I think they should take that same approach and just say, we're all in, especially with Bregman potentially leaving in free agency. I'm not going to write him off and say he's gone, but you take the attitude that he might be gone. And they should act accordingly and say, if this is the last year of Bregman, we do have a club that's a little bit on the older side, we should just say this might be the last big push with the possibility that you're thinking about rebuilding to on some level starting next year.
The reason that, while I agree that if they're going to do anything this year, they're going to have to do something, whether it's a starting pitcher or adding another bat. The reason I'm a little nervous hearing that, I feel like Joey Loperfido is going to get traded. And I'm not acting like Joey Loperfido is going to be like the next great Houston Astro, but I don't know. I mean, considering what he's done since coming up.
Yeah.
He does feel like he belongs at the major league level on a level that you don't often say about minor leaguers that early on. But he's shown power, and he's shown defense, and he's shown speed. And I mean, he's even got an arm.
It's also a farm system that, I mean, this isn't breaking news to anyone, but it's a farm system that has the last, what, year and a half, 2 years, has been consistently among the bottom of MLB. And so you have one young product of that farm system who in his time in MLB looks like he's ready for it. And the idea to ship him off where it's like, well, I don't know when the next one is going to come along. I don't know if there's another Joey Loperfido in the mix. And we're not even exactly like we have been very high on Loperfido at this segment, but it's just the fact that there's we're not fitting for a bust in Cooperstown, but it is just that there's nothing else that seems to be around the corner. And he was talked a lot about before he came up, and we're like, okay, we'll see. And then he proved it. And so the idea that they're going to go all in on this year, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. They need or at the very least, they need to play better in the time between now and when they decide to go all in to try to save this season. Because, and Dell and I were talking about this morning, you look at the contracts that they will have on the books next year. I think next year they can also, like, they'll also be able to compete next year too.
I agree with that. Honestly, I feel
so. I don't think that this is like 2024 or bust. I think it's 25. Now I'm only adding 1 year to this window that Keith Law provided, but I do think that 2025 they still have the bones of a really good team.
I'm with you there. I think one of the other unfortunate things, because there has been a lot of bad luck for the Astros this year. I don't want them to use that as the main excuse, because I mean the offense is too good to not be scoring runs on the level that they are. But you had all this pitching depth. And now you've got all these Tommy John surgeries about to happen. And we saw Spencer Arrighetti, and he's been better recently. Arrighetti would have been someone you could have shipped. I think, like, especially if you'd seen a little bit of Arrighetti, and he wasn't being thrown like on the spot into some of these spots. He didn't quite get Blair Henley, but I mean, it was pretty bad
first couple starts.
Right. And also, I mean, it was one of those things where, okay, like, they probably did not want to put him in at this point in the year. They're probably hoping like June or something like that when somebody goes down. But Arrighetti would have been trade ammunition for you. And now you need Arrighetti the rest of the year.
You can't make a win now trade and trade away Arrighetti.
Yeah. Sucks. Sucks. Sucks, sucks, sucks. But you know what doesn't suck? Fridays. TGIF. You know? It is Gallant and George. Sean Mapeson for Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, we live in an amazing country. We should all be proud of that country that we live in. Because there's something that we did yesterday that deserves a lot of praise. And also something that's happening. The exportation of American jobs that should have you all outraged. You'll hear it next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Very interactive edition of Gallant and George today with Sean Mapeson for Joe George. We're doing Ask Us Anything because it's a Friday. The Astros didn't play yesterday. And I mean, do you want to hear more Keith Law saying like, hey, you guys are being run poorly and I was right?
Everything you've been saying is right, but the only thing is, I've been saying it before. It
exactly, right. I was telling you guys this, you should have believed me.
Yeah.
And yeah, he reminded us yesterday, check out that interview up on our at ESPN Houston channel. Why don't you like and subscribe while you're at it? A question, rank the following based on their streetwear potential. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, and hockey jerseys. You got to think about the Houston side of things.
Yeah.
Hockey sweaters are sweaters. They are dead last.
I was going to say, in general, it like climate neutral, I feel like the hockey ones are probably the most, or they're higher up.
I would agree.
Now, in Houston, specifically on June 7th, I cannot say a hockey sweater.
I agree with you
there. So, yes, they go to the bottom of the list. But in other situations, I can see how they'd be higher.
Fourth. This one, I think, along the same lines, the baseball jerseys these days, thanks to Fanatics, are first off terrible.
Yeah.
And second, I don't think they're that breathable given how badly people are sweating in them in the actual games, let alone the replica version of these jerseys.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of the Fanatics era of baseball jerseys. I was thinking of it in general. But yes, the Fanatics era, it's pretty bad.
You got to wear a shirt underneath them, too.
Yes.
To prevent the sweat.
Button it all the way up like you're a mark who's about to go play.
Exactly. right. Like, again.
You got to Jose Abreu it.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, while I like to, unbutton a button or three, it is a look that only, yeah, I think, a select few could pull off. So baseball, I think, four. This is where it gets tricky. I feel like football jerseys...
It's the fit.
They're very baggy.
They don't fit, like, because obviously they get... When they're actually wearing
them...
They have pads on. So, and you're not going to wear, like, the actual jersey itself, like, where it's, like, not...
Yeah.
Like, the actual where it's tight around the shoulders and stuff. No, that's not the ones they sell. They sell these baggy ones.
Right. So you look like it's, you're like the 2003 NBA draft.
Yes. Or you look like you're the player's son. Like, you look like you're supporting your father. Like,
yeah.
it's tough. There's also not a lot of situations where it is, like, appropriate to be wearing a football jersey.
Pretty much just a football game.
Just a football
game. Pretty much just a football game. Right. So, okay, I think that's three.
Soccer and basketball are the ones that we have left.
I think you got to have good shoulders to wear a basketball jersey.
Yes. And again, as far as... appropriateness. It's a little bit more open than football, surprisingly.
If it's a hot day, people will not hate on you for wearing it.
You're wearing it as a tank top.
You could wear it to the pool.
You can wear it to the pool.
You should wear it to a festival.
Yes.
That's what I like to do, basketball jersey, a festival guy.
Again, it's one of the four places you can wear
it. Yeah. And number one, I think, is soccer, because not only you're going to be one of the few people wearing it,
mm-hmm, you can go hipster with it too.
Yeah, soccer jerseys are kind of like t-shirts.
Yeah, they're the most shirt-like of these. And Yeah, the only thing is sometimes they have a more of a European fit. So if you go into it knowing that, that hey, I don't want to look like I'm an exchange student here. All right, like I might have to bump up a size.
They're running a little tight.
Yeah,
they're like a Paul Gallant shirt.
Yes, yeah, you would love them.
Yeah,
you would love.
That's why I'm up at number one. Gonna show off my pecs, you know.
But I agree that they are the most. They're the ones that you can just like wear like a t-shirt.
We came to an agreement on that.
Yeah.
All right. It is an Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Friday. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big day in the world of American sports yesterday. I don't know if either of you, Austin behind the glass, Sean, if you guys know anything about cricket. I don't.
I thought you were about to ask if we were watching.
Well, I know none of us were watching it.
Austin? No? Okay.
He's shaking his head.
Austin,
no.
I had maybe 25% chance that
he does like hockey. So like, we thought it was possible he might be a little more open to different sports than us. But we did not watch the United States playing Pakistan in cricket.
No.
I guess the United States just got a cricket team. And guess what? The U.S. beat Pakistan. That is like beating...
USA.
That's
USA.
That's like beating Brazil in soccer. Or close to it. I don't know if India's number one or if it's Pakistan or if it's England. I don't know which of those three is at the top. I'm assuming those are the three best international cricket teams out there. But as someone who doesn't watch it, the fact that Americans can just go into any sport and take it over and kick ass at it. Hell yeah. Born in the USA. I was born in the USA.
Oh my God. There's so many different types of rankings. I thought it'd be easy. Like the
FIFA
rankings. Okay. There's a, looks like some sort of consolidated list.
Okay. Where do they stand?
Well, I don't. This must be after the loss, or maybe it's not, but they're fourth in the nation. Pakistan is fourth in the world. The U.S. is 19th.
19th?
And I think that's, again, like the college football playoff, that is taking into account the fact that they just beat the number one ranked team in the nation.
Yeah, that's right. And the eagle will fly, man. It's going to be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing a bell. And it feels like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Oh, brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. That's yeah. Right.
Watch out, Pakistan. Watch out. Watch out, India. Watch out, England.
Yeah.
I don't know any other countries that play cricket.
I don't either. Fake Tony Stark says it's like beating Russia in hockey. Yeah, actually, I guess it would be like beating Canada in hockey because we can't beat Canada
or
in hockey.
Beating America in basketball.
Beating America in basketball. Like all right.
It's hard to do.
Right. That's 100% true. So that's going on. That's good going on.
Yes.
on the American sports front. But
shout out. If any members of the U.S. cricket team are listening, shout out to you. Thank you for being great Americans.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. But on the other side, we got to talk about an absolute crime, an American crime, as we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. A crime is being committed against you, and a crime might be committed on some of the people that are being forced to commit this crime on you as well. We'll talk about it next. Gallant and George with Sean Mapes in for Joe. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. You know what I did when I found out that the United States beat Pakistan in cricket? I didn't know the United States had a cricket team. But the second thing I did when I found out the United States beat Pakistan in cricket, well, I started playing Toby Keith. But the third thing I did when the United States beat Pakistan in cricket was I poured myself a celebratory glass of Pendleton whiskey. Two fingers, one rock, smooth, refreshing. Had a little bit as well after the Celtics took down the Mavericks last night. Pendleton whiskey is fantastic stuff. Smooth, it's refreshing, it's not too sweet, and it's made with the best stuff. For example, one, the finest northern grains. Two, it is glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood that it's cut with. And three, barrel-aged in American oak. USA, USA. It's so good. When you blend it all together, it's going to satisfy your inner cowboy. I love the put a little splash in my iced coffee, but also just to have it neat. But there are so many different versions of Pendleton that you can check out at their website, pendletonwhiskey.com. You want to order it, you can get it on Drizzly, or you can find it at your local liquor store. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition. USA! USA! Get you some.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, guys. 90 days away from the start of the NFL season. Better number 90. I'm going to leave this for the text. Line 713-780-3776 to call or text in the HRNP listener line. Our Twitter, at Gallant says, at Shawnee Mapes. Our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And our YouTube channel, at ESPN Houston. Who was the better number 90 for the Houston Texans? Jadeveon Clowney or Mario Williams? Mario Williams statistically does have, I think, the dub here. And I'll admit, I just like Jadeveon Clowney because one time he trash-talked my mom, who was an Eagles fan, after the Seahawks beat the Eagles in the playoffs, and I thought that was hilarious. Also, I feel like Jadeveon Clowney and my careers were linked at a time because right after he got traded to Seattle, I got a job in Seattle. And the reason that I got the job in Seattle is because I talked about him getting traded to Seattle from the Seattle perspective over at Sports Map Radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or I think it was SB Nation Radio at the time.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, in the building. So I'm biased towards Clowney, who I think was one of the best run defenders in the NFL and is still in the league for what it's worth. Mario Williams, after you went to Buffalo, you didn't really hear him that much.
Yeah, Mario Williams, I think, does have it on All-Pro, or I don't think...
He was the correct pick.
Did he make an All-Pro? He's a one-time All-Pro.
He was the correct pick in that spot because Vince Young did not take care of himself off the field. And Reggie Bush, I feel like, was for today's NFL, not for the NFL of yesteryear.
Yeah, I mean, 07, 14 sacks. 08, 12 sacks.
Yeah,
Clowney's never had 8.5. Like, the
Clowney's been close to 10 a lot. And
he has a lot of 9s on the board. He doesn't have any 10-plus. Or at least he didn't when he was on the Texans. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you, even as someone who just watched both these guys as a fan, is that Mario Williams, the better player, but I did just kind of enjoy Jadeveon Clowney a little bit more. Also, he wasn't a straight pass rusher the way that Mario Williams was. He was better against
him. He was. It's weird, though. A lot of people did not like Clowney. I think a lot of people didn't like Williams. They were both good players. They were the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
They weren't J.J. Watt, but they were really good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we put an unfair standard next to the person who's picked first overall. Anyway, I told you guys that a crime has been committed against Americans, and I've been saying this a lot. I think that the NFL's international series is ridiculous. Honestly, it makes my blood boil that we are playing American football games in other countries, specifically Germany more than others, but also a country that, I don't know, harbored certain people after the end of World War II. Shout out to D-Day yesterday. Brazil, maybe not as many as Argentina. Brazil is going to be hosting an NFL game next year, a game between the Eagles and the Packers. I believe it is the second game of the 2024 NFL
season.
Yeah,
they kick off on Thursday. This is the Friday game.
I hate this from this perspective. Imagine that you are going to this game and you can't wear your colors because your dominant color could potentially get you murdered in Brazil. Here's Josh Jacobs with Chris Long on the Green Light podcast explaining why.
I gotta ask you, you're gonna open the season against my Eagles down in Brazil, man. What are you most excited about?
You know, they said that the part of Brazil we go into, you can't even wear green at.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
They said, like, I guess something to do with the games and stuff.
Oh, dude, Eagles. I'm not going.
They said, we're not going to Rio. No. We going to. They said, they told us, they was like, man, it's one of them places where they probably won't even let us leave.
A full team.
Oh, damn, I'm not going, dude. Eagles no.
Eagles and I was Green Bay.
Oh, green. That's
wait, what
green
color?
Is.
Yeah, what color I was, green?
I was, and they probably going to have, like, armored vehicles following us. I said, bro, why are we out here?
I'm picturing Josh Jacobs, like, hanging out on the beach.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like that kind of trip.
Bro, I was looking forward to it. I'm like, man, we about to be. It's about to be a fun week. They got telling us all of that. They're like, yeah, nah, it's not going to be like that. I'm like, yeah, all right.
They picked two teams that wear green. That's the funniest. And apparently green in Brazil is the equivalent of blue with the Crips and red with the Bloods in the United States.
I thought it was like that stadium. Their rival team wore green, and that's why they didn't allow green in the stadium.
Whatever
and now,
it is.
And now it's like just the international don't wear this color.
Why are we playing games in these, and I'm sorry to say it, sucky countries? Brazil's beaches are covered in trash, okay? You're going to get kidnapped if you step in the wrong spot. We had games in Mexico that had to get canceled because the field wasn't good enough at Stadium Azteca. The game that was played between the Texans and Raiders, Brock Osweiler had a laser pointer shoved in his eye the entire game. And on top of that, they're yelling their homophobic slur chant, which, you know, whatever. Okay, culturally, it's different for them. Whatever the case, why are we playing NFL games in other countries? It's, I think, ridiculous. England, Germany, Mexico, Brazil, China someday.
Canada.
Even Canada, which we did a couple of times. This is an American sport. What are we doing?
Growing the game, Paul.
Stop. No one is going to love it the same way we do.
Growing the money game, that is, for the NFL.
It's not going to... But no one's going to buy into it the way that they think they will. It's legitimately just going to be for people that are American that live in these countries. Now they get to go to a game. That's what it is, and there will be a lot of people that go.
Money they didn't have before.
It's terrible. So this is why I stand with Jacksonville, because the Jacksonville City Council, they're hoping to limit the Jaguars' international home games as they negotiate renovations for their new stadium.
Yeah, they better. good. If you're going to pay or help pay for their stadium. Yeah. Hey, you're going to have to play here. If we're going to pay for it, you better... You can't be doing this 3 weeks, or I think it's only 2 weeks, but these 2 weeks in London every year, we're not doing that.
They shouldn't do that, but the Jaguars are doing something that, honestly, this might be the worst thing that they've ever done to the city of Houston. It also goes to show you how crappy they've been against the Texans in particular. The Texans have
either this or the David Garrard Hail Mary.
yeah, exactly. So, for those who are, with it as far as music goes, I would not count myself there. But a lot of people might remember this line by the one and only Mike Jones.
True.
So if you saw last night, Mac Jones.
Who?
Mac Jones. Not Mike Jones. He tweeted out a picture of himself wearing Jaguars colors, standing next to what looks like an actual Mustang or a Jaguar. Again, I don't know much about cars either. But as he's standing next to this old car, wearing a Jaguars teal uniform and sunglasses and number 10 as QB number 2 in Jacksonville, with the quote, 281-330-8004, that is stolen Houston valor. And I feel like we need Trevor Lawrence to get benched for Mac Jones so that the Houston Texans can lay a whooping on Mac Jones. This is stolen Houston valor.
I honestly... when
and
I,
cultural appropriation.
It is. The Houston culture. When I saw this, I was like, wait, what? Like, I just couldn't... I couldn't make sense of it because there's nothing about this that is Houston. Like, they're not... Like, the car isn't, like, doesn't have any of the slabs or any, like... Doesn't have the pokers.
Exactly.
It's just... Oh, what? Honestly, it looks... If you just took out the caption. It looks more like a Miami Vice kind of look.
It looks like a Miami Vice kind of look. And let's be honest, Jacksonville, I mean, you're on the border of Georgia. Yeah. And, I mean, like, nothing against
Georgia.
You're
stealing Miami Valor in that case.
This is stolen Miami Valor. So, Mac Jones looks like someone here who, in addition to being a used vintage car salesman, also launders money for Colombians.
Yeah, he looks like his dad is the one who runs the vintage car company,
and he's
the one that uses whatever money for pills.
Purposes? Yeah, we'll say that.
Yeah, it wasn't until actually the segment when we started talking about Mike Jones and Mac Jones that I was like, oh. That's the joke he's making.
I hate that.
Is that their names sound kind of alike.
That guy is the reason that Belichick had to retire. Like, that guy ruined Belichick's career, and is why he's on the sideline this year. I'm so angry about this. Like, and again, you know, I'm someone who... I wasn't born in Houston. I wasn't born in Texas. But I came down here as soon as I could.
There you go.
You know, I am a Texan by choice. It says it on my Twitter. And I declare war on the Jaguars for co-signing this, because he's wearing Jaguars colors, and I declare war on Mac Jones, who I already was at war at, but now I'm at double war with Mac Jones.
On two fronts. Yeah, I'm of two minds. A, this sucks, but I'm also, like, I'm not, like, mad. It's just, like, it just sucks. like, it's not even an effective troll, I would say. It's that it's, like, it's just, like, what are you doing? Like,
if he was the backup quarterback for the Texans, I would co-sign this.
Well, yeah, because then it's a pander move.
Yeah.
This is, like, nothing.
This is a, like, wait, no one understands what you did here, except for people in Houston, and it would be people in Houston who happen to be following your Twitter account for some reason, probably because they're all ironically hoping that you end up being better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it is, like, weirdly targeted for Houstonians between the ages of like 25 and 40.
Yes.
like that is who you're targeting in this tweet, Mac Jones. Yeah. Also, he's the backup. Like, what are we doing? It's the Tar Eason thing. Don't be talking trash from the sideline.
Keith on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel says, I use Mike Jones' number at Kroger when I get fuel. Does it work?
Yeah. That would be great if Kroger was like, listen, we'll just sign this number up. It's like the secret menu.
Yeah, you get like the special discount. You get 50% off on your gas if you know that. That would be pretty cool. I like that. All right. We got time for a little Dan Campbell in our lives, right?
We always have time.
We have time for some Dan Campbell. So Dan Campbell is the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And once again at the press conference, I mean, he's an artist. Here he is. Talking somehow, some way about the movie Anchorman.
Like the awareness of who's in, what's the situation. We know what it says on paper, but we can't do the Ron Burgundy, you know? We can't just continue to read off the teleprompter. We got to grow. And that's the next step. That is the next evolution, because that's what San Francisco did to us, quite frankly. They played at a different level.
I like that. We can't do the Ron Burgundy. I get what he's trying to say.
Bleep yourself, San Diego.
It took some context clues, but I get what he's saying, where it's like we need to be able to like think on our feet and adjust and not just do what's called. But it is just when I saw that he invoked the name Ron Burgundy, I was like, in what possible context could he have brought up Ron Burgundy?
Right. Like, how dated is this reference going to be?
But also classic football coach to be like, Let me wheel out a reference from 20 years ago. like, there might be a guy on the Lions who wasn't born when that movie came out. Like, it's kind of like the Mac Jones thing where it's like, who are you targeting here?
Yeah.
It's like, it's effective to who you're targeting. I'm not sure if your players, I'm sure some of them get it, but there might be someone who's like, I don't know what the Ron Burgundy, is that a dance? Do the Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, exactly. Like, listen, hey, Dan Campbell's always fun.
Always fun.
And if he's using things to teach his players things, which we'll dive into another motivational tactic, another head coach that everyone loves use this later on, this is what you don't do. So I guess this is the Gallant version, Goofus and Gallant, of how to inspire the troops.
Yeah, I guess, wait, Goofus and Gallant?
Oh, God, I'm dating myself. See, that's a really dated reference. The Highlights magazine, you ever heard of that? They used to have so they used to have these cartoons. I'm sure this is going over Austin's head too. So they'd have these cartoons and would show like Goofus and Gallant. So Gallant was like the goody two shoes. Gallant, what's an example of this? Gallant helps his mother bring in the groceries. Goofus gets up in his room and smokes hot pot and gets high. This is Gallant, not Goofus.
When Goofus falls down and skins his hands and knees, he cries like a baby. Gallant gets up smiling, even if blood is seeping from his knees. Was this like a poster that you had in your room?
No.
That seems like your own personal inspirational poster. I did not want that one. I thought you were calling me Goofus. I thought you were calling this Goofus.
No. I'm the Goofus and you're Gallant.
Insulted.
You're Gallant.
That's confusing for the listener.
Very confusing. It's Gallant and George with Sean Mapes in for Joe George on an Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Friday. We got some more questions. Plus, hey, we talked earlier in the show. We're hoping that this one young Houston Texan has fixed a problem for the Texans. Because this guy who we were all thinking about as a potential Texans option this offseason, he ain't the guy. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The most interactive sports talk show on a Friday from noon to 3 in Houston, Texas, on the FM side of things. Sean Mapes is in for Joe George.
We'll run the numbers. Maybe we can get a couple of those elements out of there.
Yeah. Listen, we're just being honest with everybody. So we discussed options for the Texans as their number two corner over the course of this offseason. Xavien Howard.
Yeah.
Former Miami Dolphins cornerback.
Still a free agent.
He is still a free agent. And he is going to remain a free agent after this story from the Miami Herald. I can't believe this is real. Seeking revenge, headline for the Miami Herald. Xavien Howard texted boy sexual photos of his mother. Court records show. I don't think we need to say anything other than he's not going to be a Houston Texan.
No, not Texan worthy.
The reason he did it, allegedly, sending the son sexual photos of his mother, is because she refused to get an abortion. I mean, we're talking about one of the biggest pieces of bleep that we've seen in the NFL in 2024. The year is young.
Yeah.
Rashee Rice made a bold effort. But
this one's a tough one to top.
This is number one, I would say, right now. Unless that guy in the Chiefs who was, leaving the animals out and about got charged with animal cruelty, unless you're, more of a dog lover. This is one of the most messed up things I've ever seen. I couldn't believe I saw it. And honestly, I'm very happy that the Houston Texans stick to their guns and didn't bring this guy in.
Yeah, that's something where I wonder how much gets flagged in the background check of these guys. And it's a little bit of a lesson for when we do go, when we start standing on the table. I don't think anyone was necessarily like beating the drum for Xavien Howard, but he was one of the people that one of the corners that were in the mix where they're like, why haven't they signed a corner?
Exactly.
Like Xavien Howard or like even Steven Nelson before he called D'Amico
Ryan's built done man.
Yeah. it does go to show that it's like, sometimes when something is kind of unexplainable on the outside for why a guy's unsigned. Sometimes there's a little bit more underneath the hood that we can't exactly see that maybe. I don't know if the Texans did know more than we did, but it would be reasonable to believe that they did.
I would assume they did.
Yeah.
I would assume they did. And I mean, we played that audio yesterday of Cam Sutton, another nominee for worst person in the NFL in this young 2024. This is all time. So I'm assuming the Texans did their due diligence and that's why he's not on the team, because they are clearly in a bit of a win now mode.
Yes.
Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Friday. Key from LA asked us, what's your favorite drink? He also says in the clubs. I will say, I don't go to clubs anymore. I go to bars, but I don't go to clubs.
Not a huge club guy.
Unless it's like a pool club in Vegas, but that's different.
That is different.
That is a little different. My go-to is Paloma, always. Paloma. For those who don't know.
I actually knew that about you.
Yeah. You've seen me get it before. It is it's tequila. Sometimes I like to do it with mezcal and grapefruit juice. You sometimes, depending on where you get it, there's a little club soda in there. It's really good. When I was in Mexico earlier this year for my best friend's wedding, that stuff was basically my water. Like the entire week. Like I could not, it was an all-inclusive place and I could not get enough at the pool. So
yeah. I think when we've been at events and stuff, or when we go to when we've been to Vegas together and stuff, I think we've both had Palomas, and they're very good.
They're so good.
You've converted me. Hell, I wasn't exactly against it, but it was you opened a door I didn't know was there. I'm pretty straightforward and pretty like kind of boring with it. Vodka soda is basically
vodka soda.
Yeah, it's easy. It's
locale,
very locale, and yeah, you don't have to worry about like, oh, they might mess it up. It's like, no, even like the most basic bartender in the world,
it's hard to mess up. Because right, like, hey,
it's also easy to say. It's just,
oh, if you put too much vodka in, oh no, right?
Exactly. What am I gonna do?
Yeah, you're hoping they put too much vodka.
Yeah, exactly.
In there. All right, he's Sean Mapeson for Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESB at 97.5 and 92.5. We'll keep on working questions in that you have on an Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Friday with Sean sitting in the Joe chair. Up next, Keith Law came with the takes. He really came with the takes of the Killer Bees yesterday. In case you missed what we talked about earlier, we're going to bring some of it back to the table because he thinks that you guys are wrong and he wants you to know about it. Stick around and hear him.
ESPN 97.5.